When we think of the power of prayer, we look at our life that today we can wear the smiles, we can put on the charm this morning and think that we have it all together, but yet we're being challenged every day in this walk in the Lord. And one of the questions that I have you ever been upset with somebody? Just raise your hand. I see those hands and we'll ask you to come up for prayer at the end. No, but the thing is, we got to be real. The power of prayer. Have you ever been upset with somebody? Yes, I have. I raised my hand first. The next one is this. Have you ever been bitter to the point that you didn't want to forgive them? Yes, I've been there. Got the t-shirt and the mug. Right? You and I are challenged every day to take offense at someone or something. We're going to have that opportunity today. It may be with your wife or with your husband. It may be at a workplace. It may be at the gas station. It may be at the grocery store. It may be something that you and I have an opportunity to get offended at someone or something in our life. We're people. We're made in the image of God, but God is wanting to shape us and mold us to be more like Him rather than the world. So as a Christian, when do we pay attention to the words of Jesus? Do we only pay attention to the words of Jesus when it lines up how we feel? Or is it a spoken word that we need to understand that He's trying to do something within our hearts and our minds? Or do we believe it's somebody else's responsibility to correct the issue or to correct the problem? And many times in this day and age, there's this point of it's better to point at somebody and say, you've got a problem rather than I have a problem. It seems like today that everybody wants to blame everybody else rather than taking the responsibility on themselves. Hello? So when I'm talking about the power of prayer, there's a reason that I'm speaking about this, because I'm going to be sharing some words of Jesus that we need to pay attention to. So many times we can find ourselves, again, pointing fingers about issues that are caused by our own self-inflicted drama. We all find ourselves that we can cause our own self-inflicted dramas. Well, let's look at Matthew 7, 1 through 5. I personally have had self-inflicted drama. But the question is, did I pay attention to the words of Jesus, or was I paying more attention to my own selfishness in my life? So when we look at Matthew 7, 1 through 5, it says, judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus said this. So when I'm saying, when we look at the power of prayer, when we look at or pay attention to God's word or the words of Jesus versus our self-inflicted drama, what are the things that we're doing that we're saying, you know, let me take that plank out of your eye because I don't have a plank, I have a speck, when in reality I have the plank in my eye and you have the speck. You know, people tend to get into other people's business when they need to mind their own business. And so when they get this judgmental attitude, you know, I wouldn't have done that if they'd have done. Wait. You need to take the plank out of your eye before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. In today's time, People are busy bodies wanting to be in other people's business, which they do not have a reason to be in their business. Let's look at Matthew 6, 7 through 15. And I talked on this earlier in this message, the power of prayer. So when I'm talking about the power of prayer, I want us to say, you know, I need to pray for your brother. I need to pray for your sister. You know, that is a good thing. But I believe we also need to examine our own hearts before we tend to examine somebody else's heart. We've all been there. We got the t-shirt. We got the mug. We got it all. But when we need to look at what or pay attention to what the words of Jesus are, many times we tend to want them to be used for our own self-interest rather than him trying to shape us and mold us and how he wants us to be. All right? So when we look at Matthew 6, 7 through 15, Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. Then in this manner, therefore, pray." Now, this is Jesus telling the disciples how to pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We as believers tend to stop at the amen because we like that part. But it goes on to say, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you or your trespasses." Oh. I like the first part, but I don't like the second part. So then we have to get into the place of the power of prayer. When we examine our hearts, we like the first part of the Lord's Prayer, but when we get to the amen, that we stop and say, you know what, we just believe in the power of God. We believe in that God watches over his saints and all these things. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But it's amazing to think that Jesus didn't stop there. He continues, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive yours." So then we have to ask ourselves, where's our heart? Where's our heart that we like the first part of that prayer? But you know that thing that's deep within me? I know I got to deal with something because the Word of God says, Jesus, were you serious when you said that? Jesus, is this a truth that I need to really pay attention to? Yes. This is a truth that we as believers, as Christians, need to pay attention to. So why should we pay attention to it? What happens if we don't forgive? This is not a trick question. Okay, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. You know, many times we don't want to hear that. Because what happens is we get in our self-righteousness and we think it's either somebody else's responsibility, but we're not willing to take the responsibility on ourselves. So then God is shaping us and molding us. And there's another issue that happens when we don't forgive. And I want us to look at Hebrews 12, 15, and 14. This is amazing because I think when we look at what is being spoken here, pursue peace with all people. Well, we can say, you know, I'll pursue peace with these people because I like these people, but these people over here, I'm not going to pursue peace with all people. He says, all people, pursue, go after, get on it, go for it. Pursue peace with all people. And what do you see in this day and age is a chaos that peace isn't being pursued. And yet the Word of God says, pursue peace with all people, now get this next part, and holiness. You know, holiness is not talked about very much. Holiness seems to be very rarely spoken in the church, just like the word repentance. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. This is something that is revelation to our heart, that is something that we need to pay attention to for our lifestyle, that God is wanting us to understand for a reason. Okay? So without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, meaning hurt. Many being hurt. So it says that the root of bitterness, I want us to pay attention to this a little bit. The root of bitterness, because I'm talking about forgiveness, you can get a root of bitterness that somebody can come up to you and say, how are you doing? And I'm saying fine, but yet there's a root that's going down within your midst that needs to be taken care of, because it's a root springing up, cause trouble. By this, many become defiled, many become hurt, because they haven't taken care of that root of bitterness. All right? And you might say, well, what does the root of bitterness have to do with prayer? Prayer turns us to God. Prayer turns us to God. The root of bitterness is a deliberate turning away from God. Did you get that? So if you have a root of bitterness towards something or someone, you need to take care of that issue. Brett, when there's a root of bitterness that's wanting to get in my heart and in my spirit, I better deal with it quickly, because it'll try to get as deep as it can so that my heart becomes hardened and I become hurt. And when I become hurt, I like to hurt other people. Right? When I'm letting that root get deep and I become hardened in heart, I will start hurting other people because of my hurt. The root of bitterness, Satan wants to hit these targets, and the first one is your mind, and then the next one is your heart. So he wants to affect your mind first, so it will impact the heart, so that there's a root. His target is the mind. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to get something in your head first before it hits in your heart. The root of bitterness in your heart will affect you and begin to affect others, because you haven't dealt with it up here. You're a target. And he wants to affect your mind and your heart. And he wants any root that can hold you and I in bondage to go deep. He wants the root of bondage to get deep in your heart, making it impossible that God can change it or break it. Did you just hear what I said? He wants us to get to a place to making it seem, because he is the ultimate deceiver, to where he's making it seem that it's impossible that God can change it or break it. So in Proverbs 14:10, the heart knows its own bitterness. The heart knows its own bitterness. So when you think of I'm not bitter. Yes, you are. You're bitter. Because your heart knows it. Again, the scripture, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. So whether it's inner pain or happiness, outward appearance doesn't always portray the true feelings of your heart. So this morning, how you doing? Oh, it's just great. Everything's good. See, the outward appearance may not truly share what's on your heart. And yet God is saying, I see your heart. I see the root of bitterness in your heart, and I want to change it or break it, because if you don't change it or break it, that root can get deeper, and many become defiled, hurt. And when you become hurt, you will hurt others because of your hurt. And you may not intentionally do that, but there's something going on in your inner man that is working, that God is trying to transform in your life, that he's saying, I want to deal with that inner hurt. I like your happiness, but your happiness is not a true expression of what's in your heart. And I want to get into that. I want to get into that area that you're hurting, that's hurting right here. And that is for each and every one of us. Every one of us in this room is dealing with this. And he says, you know what? Don't let the root of bitterness cause trouble. He's saying, deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, the hurt in you is going to hurt others. The devil wants to target your mind and target your heart, right? So if you're to look in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, talks about be sober, be vigilant, right? But I want you to understand, this Christian walk is a walk in Christ. It can't be a Christian walk in yourself. It has to be a Christian walk in Christ. And you know what? There's times that we get in the flesh. And God doesn't want us to be in the flesh, but when we get in the flesh, the devil says, I got your target. Got your target. Okay? Ephesians 4:31-32. Paul's talking to the church of Ephesus. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, and I was looking up, what's malice? What's malice? And I wanted to make sure it's the intention of doing harm while having the satisfaction of doing it. So it'd be, you know what? You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. It's the intention of doing harm to someone and having the satisfaction of doing it so that you'll get them back. So it says, let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, or anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And it says this. This right here changed my life early in my Christian walk. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, get this, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Really? I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I'm mad. But yet the scripture's saying, don't be angry. Don't let that root of bitterness affect your life, because if you let that root get in you, it's not going to be good. So then when I read the scripture saying you need to forgive just as I've forgiven you. Wait, he forgave me. He gave everything to me that he forgave me of my sins, and he forgave me of my attitudes and the thoughts of the unforgiveness towards somebody else. It's like, you know what? I need to change my heart. Because if God can love me and forgive me for all the stupid things that I've done, I look at, you know what? I need to have the attitude of Christ to forgive others, even though I didn't want to. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So you think of the power of prayer. The power of prayer invades the work of the enemy. Light invades darkness. And light can destroy all darkness. There's a part in the scripture when the Lord Jesus was talking about how much darkness is in you. So it's almost measurable, because I think even as a believer, as a Christian, we can live this life. But you know, there can be a little bit of darkness in there. And Jesus is saying, how much is that darkness still in you? How much have you not surrendered to me? How much have you not forgiven that little thing? Maybe we've got our Christian walk that we've got it made at 95%, and God's saying, you know that little darkness that's in you? I want that. I want that little darkness. And the reason why that is because he doesn't want it to be a root. He doesn't want that little darkness. We may think that we've got this all figured out, but Jesus is saying, I know your heart, and that little darkness that's there, I want to change it or destroy that root so it doesn't harden your heart. In Psalm 66, 17 through 20, when I was talking about unforgiveness, remember the words of Jesus. Was Jesus serious about his sayings? Are we as believers, as Christians, paying attention to the words of Jesus? When we look at Psalm 66 through 17, it says, I cried to him with my mouth, and we exalted, it says, to praise highly with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. You think of the power of prayer. Iniquity in the heart is the reason for many unanswered prayers. Verse 19, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to my voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So even when it was spoken in Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I think repentance right now is good for the believer. That we need to examine our heart. Where are we at in our mind and in our hearts? In 2 Corinthians 10:3, we need to be careful to understand the enemy wants us to live in the flesh as much as possible. And in 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Then it says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Many times when you look at weapons, we can think of guns and knives and different things as bring for the weapons. What we need to understand is that in which we use against. What is it that we're using against an enemy? What is it that we're using against carnality? See, carnality is not spiritual. Carnality is of the flesh. So prayer, the power of prayer is to help us to live this Christian life, not based on the flesh, but it's the very prayer, it's the very word of God that helps us live this life victorious in Christ. Where it says, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself from the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is here. The will of God is in here. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're to bring every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. The devil wants to hit those targets. He wants us to think about the things that the devil's doing so that we get our mind off the knowledge of God, off the Word of God, off the Spirit of God. So he's saying, take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. So you don't allow the penetration of that of the mind and the heart to be affected. All right, let's look at Mark 11, 22, 26. Again, Jesus is speaking these words. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Most surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will say whatever things he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand, now notice that we can get to verse 24 and say, I really like that. Because we want to say it, we want to believe it, we want to receive it. But yet when you look at verse 25, Jesus continues to say, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Boy, it's almost in line with that prayer again. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. That is something that we usually don't like to hear. We like the first part. Boy, I'm going to speak to that mountain. But if I've got some things within my heart about unforgiveness, it's amazing to think, why aren't my prayers being answered? Now, I'm not here to judge, but we do have to pay attention to the words of Jesus. Because it's not only on you, but it's also on me. These are words of Jesus we need to pay attention to. So when we speak to the mountains in our lives, are we speaking or praying God's ability in action? But yet we can cancel out those actions if we have unforgiveness. Like Jesus cursing the fig tree, we're speaking and praying against the attacks of the enemy or circumstances that have risen up in our lives. And Jesus Christ has made it possible for us as followers of Christ to use our authority by faith. Because it says, have faith in God. Do not doubt in your heart. Speak these things and they shall come. And yet we as believers need to understand that if we're followers of Christ, that means we have to play by his rules. Oh, don't know if I like those rules. So then you have your own religion? If you're playing by your own rules, you're playing by your own religion. But if we say that we're followers of Christ, he's saying, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to live. It's his words, not our words. Matter of fact, God isn't a God of religion. He's about relationship. But yet man makes it into religion. And we can take this Bible and we can form it in the way we want by the words that we feel and how we are viewing life. But yet Jesus is saying, no, this is how you need to see life. And it's not based on religion. It's based on relationship with him. So let's look at Matthew 16:19. Now Jesus spoke these words, and it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever things you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. One thing that I've noticed in my life is that when I have keys in my hand, they give access. Give me your keys to your car, I have access. Give me your keys to your house, I have access. So what I want us to understand is when we look at what Jesus Christ has given us, the keys of the kingdom, see, when Jesus died on the cross and tore that veil in two, we have direct access to the throne room of God. So there's a key here we need to understand. The key is that you and I have access to the throne room of God, but yet Jesus is still saying, I've given you authority. One of those authorities is you can pray in the name of Jesus. I give you authority, here's a key, by using my name. The name that is above every name. Didn't we just sing that song earlier? Jesus. You know what? There's going to be times in your life you're going to have to sing. Jesus, name above all names. Devil, I'm telling you right now, there's only one name higher than you, and that is Jesus Christ. You're going to have to sing that song when there's all these things going on in your life, and he says, I've given you a key to use my name. Use my name. Keys denote authority. Keys denote authority, and we use our authority in knowing what the Word of God is and by using prayer. The authority, the keys are that Jesus has given us is the Word of God and prayer. And we see Jesus using the Word of God in his life, but we also see Jesus spending time in prayer. Amen? Those are two things that help in our life to live this Christian walk victoriously. Amen? All right. So it takes faith, it takes prayer to speak to the mountains. So I'm a believer, you're a believer, right? And many times we get to the place, I feel like the devil's doing all these things to me. This is where we need to make our stand with the power of prayer and the Word of God, that we as believers put the target on the devil rather than allowing him to put the target on us. So when we think of the power, take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And I say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. I come against you in the name of Jesus that you've tried to do these things against my family. You've tried to put thoughts in my mind that will attach to my heart. I'm not going to allow that to take place. And what I want us to understand is we make sure that we're not the target. But he becomes the target because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he defeated Satan. It says in the Word of God that we're joint heirs in Christ. Because we're joint heirs in Christ, we have authority, we have the keys, and we need to use them against the devil rather than saying, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. Jesus never intended you and I to believe in being that we are a victim. Amen. Because he made the devil a footstool unto himself. And then we also know the scripture, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen? So then the enemy and his demons and circumstances, situations, become the target rather than us believing we are the target. We just need to remind the devil of what his future is. We win at the end. Look at the end of the Bible. We win. And those that win are overcomers in Christ. So we need to make sure that we're putting the targets on the devil, on the demons, on the circumstances. All right? So I want us to think about this. Speak and pray what the Word of God says. Right? Use the spirit realm to impact things in the natural realm. All right? Use the spirit realm to impact things in the natural realm. And many times we can forget. We're so much in the flesh, we forget to use the name of Jesus. We forget to use the keys. Amen? How about when something comes that we say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Wow, that rises up within us to be the men and women of God that he's called us to be. You can write these scriptures down. I'm going to close with this. Three scriptures. First one, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The enemy will try to get us to use our five senses all the time so that we don't live by faith. But it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Number two, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We start believing in the supernatural. We believe in the power of God. Now faith is. When is faith? It's now. When you go outside the church, faith is now. When you're at your job, faith is now. When you're driving in the car, faith is now. When you're at the grocery store, faith is now. When you're at the workplace, faith is now. Now faith is. Number three, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who has come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, I'll just catch you, God, whenever I want. No. He's talking about diligence. That we're diligently seekers of him. Let me read that one more time. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the power of prayer works. We just have to put it into action. Amen. Praise the Lord.